Cyberspace.
Introduction. We live in a world with two realities, the one we can touch, see, hear, and smell, and the virtual land of the Internet. Together, they comprise the singular experience of our world. If you're like most people, you probably hang out on the Internet a fair amount, whether it be connecting with friends, shopping, reading news, gaming, or even studying. Our online personas have become so much a part of our lives that we may have entire relationships with friends whom we have never met IRL, in real life. We describe this virtual world as cyberspace and identify our online relationships and activities with the cyber prefix. For example, you have friends at school, but you might also have a cyber friend whom you chat or game with online. You can have cyber assets in the form of bank accounts or credit card information, Bitcoin, personal data, or anything else of value stored in an app or an online account. Some people even have cyber pets. Unfortunately, cyberspace also mimics some of life's darker aspects. Cybercrime is an online reality. Yes, it can often feel like you're alone while roaming the Internet on your personal device, but there are actually about 3.2 billion people moving around online at the same time. That's half the world's population. And this means you need to take cautionary measures in cyberspace, similar to the ones you take when leaving your house or traveling abroad. What is cybersecurity? Think about the many safety rules you were taught as a child. Stranger danger. Look both ways before crossing the street. Always use the buddy system. These teachings have been instilled in us for good reason, because security, or the state of being free from danger or threat, is critical. Once we understand how to best protect ourselves and our valuables, we can move through life more confidently. The same thinking applies to our online experiences, where threats to our safety exist in virtual form. Simply put, cybersecurity is the state of being protected against online criminal or unauthorized behavior that may put you, your information, or your assets in jeopardy. If you've ever seen a movie or a TV show where a team of criminals pulls off a high-tech heist, you may have noticed how the person who cracks the safe is studied in the most advanced locking mechanisms. Just as the banks attempt to stay one step ahead of thieves, criminals search for the perfect weakness to bypass a bank's security. And if that team of thieves also has a tech person on board, that person looks for similar, but virtual, ways to get around any type of cybersecurity device that is thrown up to block their access. The tougher the physical or virtual safe, the harder the crime team has to work to crack it. Defining cybercrime. The Internet is still a pretty new invention. Although it was first created within the government close to 40 years ago, the more recognizable form, known today as the web, only became available to most people around 1990. As such, it is still growing, evolving, and developing as more and more people gain access to it, and our efforts to protect it have to keep pace. This means we need to think like criminals and assess the potential weak points exposed by the lives we lead online. When it comes to our physical living spaces and homes, the methods of protection we use are pretty clear. We consider all the different points of entry: doors, windows, skylights, and chimneys, air vents. From a security perspective, all the spaces where something or someone can enter your home are potential points of vulnerability. Due to the reality of this threat, you and your family have likely employed tools like locks and alarms to keep your personal space free from intruders. We're still learning how to navigate the boundaries, vulnerabilities, and safety concerns of cyberspace. Just when a software update is sent out to protect us against the latest attack, infiltrators manage to find another fresh point of entry. It can feel like a constant struggle to keep up. And what hackers do once they gain unauthorized access to your computer system defines their cybercrime.
Check out these examples of computer crime. Unauthorized access. Accessing a computer system without authorization. Invasion of privacy. Taking advantage of access to a computer system to obtain private information. Interfering with information or services. Intentionally or recklessly disrupting, degrading, or destroying information or services on the computer. Harming equipment. intentionally or recklessly tampering with, taking, transferring, concealing, altering, or damaging any equipment used in a computer system. Using private data. Using or disclosing any data or information obtained through illegal online activity. Holding private data. Knowingly receiving or holding on to any data or information obtained through illegal online activity.
A lesson from Captain Zapp. While the very first cybercrime supposedly dates back to 1820 when someone messed with an abacus, we will have to jump ahead quite a few years to see the first real case of hacker arrest. The year was 1981, a time when smartphones didn't exist and making a long-distance call actually cost money. A young man named Ian Murphy, now fondly referred to as Captain Zapp, broke into the AT&T online computer system and changed their clocks so people could make calls during the day at a discounted rate. While this may seem more like a childish prank than a real crime, it was considered a major snafu back in the 80s when the internet was just taking off. People were surprised and angry. Captain Zapp was apprehended and became the first person to ever be charged with a cybercrime, for which he received 1,000 hours of community service and 2.5 years probation. If that seems like a light sentence for messing with a massive company's private online data, you're right. So why did he get off so easy? Because he was basically the first online villain ever to commit such a crime. It just wasn't a thing yet. But nowadays, hacking into any private business network is considered a major felony, with a penalty of up to 20 years in prison and a fine of $15,000. This severe rise in punitive action demonstrates just how much cybersecurity has evolved over a short period of time, as society has become increasingly serious about the need to protect online privacy and all of our information nested away in the virtual world. You may be happy to know, Captain Zapp has since quit his online shenanigans and started using his immense hacking powers for good, eventually creating his own security company that breaks into companies' systems to help them, not hurt them. Thanks, Captain Zapp. Information assurance. Cybersecurity is part of a broader practice called information assurance, IA, which provides both digital and non-digital information security by preventing unauthorized access to information and actively detecting, documenting, and counteracting such threats. Basically, IA guarantees users that their stored data will work just as they expect it should and will only be accessed by authorized people. This is a guarantee of authenticity, which means the message, transaction, or other exchange of information requires proof of identity through something like a password or keycard. Authenticity ensures the genuineness of physical or electronic documents, communications, and transactions, and it gives individuals a way to retrieve or restore their own personal information should it be compromised. It reduces fraud by way of misrepresentation, while allowing systems and people to conduct business online with increased confidence and security. Any cyber attacker who gets their hands on passwords, usernames, account numbers and such could likely access network areas where they don't belong. And in many cases, it's just a matter of time before this initial entry leads them to even more informational breadcrumbs, all of which pave the way for a larger exploit. Think of cybersecurity as just one type of information assurance. Even though IA has been around much longer, its description has been stretched to cover all manner of information risk. Cybersecurity is, well, more cyber in focus. Information stored online can open all kinds of doors. Yes, even real ones with heavy locks. Drain any bank account, expose any government spy, and even launch a nuclear warhead. It all depends on what the person with access to this coded information decides to do with it. Cyber attackers can use computers to gain access to sensitive data and information without permission, taking whatever they want and leaving a wake of destruction in their path. Without the defensive powers of IA, these attacks on data could threaten the critical infrastructure of the United States or any other country by targeting key sectors like national and economic security, public health and safety, communication, transportation, and electricity generation. Those 3.2 billion internet users mentioned earlier are storing personal data online at the same time that businesses are layering on important information of their own. And to top it off, Governments are trying to keep their highly sensitive data as private as possible. As a society, we need to trust that someone or something is keeping all of these bits of encrypted data, as well as the not-so-hidden data, safe from attack. This means that every individual working with an information system has specific responsibilities for information assurance. This is called accountability, and it's one seriously big job. A brief history of cybersecurity. Computers may have originally been developed to accomplish various tasks in relative isolation, kind of like glorified calculators, but it wasn't long before researchers and governments figured out that they could use them to communicate more efficiently. Thinking about the ways humans have shared information over the centuries, using smoke signals, carrier pigeons, and Morse code, makes you realize just how revolutionary it was when the telephone finally arrived. It was a surefire way to communicate directly with another person and confirm they were, in fact, receiving your message. In reality, every form of communication ever employed by humans has had a vulnerability. Smoke signals could be seen by anyone looking at the sky at the right time. Carrier pigeons could become disoriented or lost, and Morse code could be cracked. Even the gloriously modern telephone had a vulnerability. You never knew who might be listening in on the wires. So, when technology reached the point where information could be easily passed between two machines and remove human interference entirely, it felt like the perfect communication update. But joy soon turned to fear, and some measure of excitement, when everyone began to realize the network solution of the century, known as the Internet, was not going to remain a safe and welcoming space. Much like criminal forensics, the history of cybersecurity began when a researcher discovered a way to track the movements within a network by analyzing different kinds of trace evidence. Through the 70s and 80s, most cybersecurity threats came in the form of naughty employees reading documents they shouldn't. But the stakes in this game soon grew considerably in scope and size. And as we know, these humble beginnings soon took a hard right turn into the realm of criminality. Let's recall for a minute how the Internet evolved and how the efforts of cybersecurity managed to keep pace. 1958. The U.S. government, under the leadership of President Dwight D. Eisenhower, created the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, in response to Russia's invention of the first Earth satellite known as Sputnik 1. As the agency tasked with the development of emerging technologies for military use, DARPA became the first enterprise to collaborate with academic, industry, and government partners to expand the frontiers of technology and science, and of course, to stay competitive in the international technoscape. 1962. The first commercial modem was released by AT&T as a way to transmit data for military purposes, specifically for North American air defense. Using the telephone wires for transmission, this first modem allowed for faster data speeds and increased communication. 1969. Funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network, ARPANET, became the first network to put the conceptual model and set of communication protocols, also known as TCP/IP, into practice. This paved the way for separate networks to connect to one another and introduced the technical foundation of what is now the Internet. 1971. Using the ARPANET, the first computer worm, otherwise known as the creeper virus, began to infect computers, alerting users to their plight with the spooky on-screen message, "I'm the creeper, catch me if you can." Although it caused no real damage to data, it generated the need for antivirus measures like the Reaper program, created to delete these types of self-replicating viruses. This conflict between Creeper and Reaper has since taken on historic cultural significance and has served as inspiration for several movies and fictionalized writings. 1976. Paul Allen and Bill Gates wrote revolutionary new software based on established BASIC language and formed their own company, Microsoft. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak started Apple Computers and rolled out the Apple I, the very first computer with a single circuit board. By putting all the functions on one board, a smaller system could be created and computers took up way less space. 1980s. The Internet expanded from the ARPANET model of just a few computers networked together into a greater widespread development of local area networks due to more of the public having personal computers. A variety of networks formed among different organizations, like academics, the Department of Defense, scientists, etc. Networks also spread internationally. 1986. A German computer hacker accessed an internet gateway in Berkeley, California, and used that connection to piggyback on the ARPANET. He accessed 400 military mainframes, including those at the Pentagon, with the intent of selling their secrets to the Russian KGB. But an astronomer who dabbled in cyber detection was able to find him and discover his identity. This marked the moment when viruses became less of an academic prank among computer experts and more of a serious threat to humanity. This is also the year when the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act was written and implemented to stop cybercriminals. 1987. G Data Software released the first antivirus product for the Atari ST platform, which was later picked up and continued by other software developers. As more and more viruses were created to manipulate and destroy data on infected computers, this innovation became a critical part of virus removal and a pivotal piece of technological security moving forward. 1988. The Morris worm, one of the first of its kind, was unleashed on the internet, resulting in the first felony conviction in the U.S. under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Although the worm was created to study rather than harm the internet, its mishandling allowed it to spread rapidly and infect 2,000 computers within just 15 hours. This led to millions of dollars in damages and the creation of the computer emergency response software and protocols known as CERT/CC. The creator of the worm, Robert Morris, was tried and convicted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and was sentenced to 3 years probation, a $10,050 fine, and a lot of community service hours. 1989. In response to the international demand for automatic information sharing between scientists, a research organization created the first website to be hosted on a server, thereby creating the famous World Wide Web. And by April 1993, the web software was made available in the public domain, which allowed users to run a server freely, engage in basic browser functions, and connect more readily with others. 1990s. A large-scale virus infected tens of millions of PCs, causing email systems around the world to fail and people to freak out. As a result, antivirus technology became a priority and user awareness became much keener around untrusted sources. 1998. When two students at Stanford University in California developed a revolutionary search algorithm, first known as Backrub, to index the ever-growing information on the web, they essentially created a single, integrated, and universal digital library. Eventually, they incorporated their new engine into their company, Google, and began to index millions of pages. As a technological tool, the Google search engine pulled in better results than their competitors and became the most innovative in the industry. 2004. The most popular social networking service to date was launched. Yes, Facebook. And it featured voice and video calling, as well as instant messaging services. This year marked the official birth of social media and the apex of internet connectivity.
Can you guess about how much money will be spent on cybersecurity in 2021? The cybersecurity industry will spend about $6 trillion on cybersecurity in 2021. It's no surprise considering that a hacker attacks on average every 39 seconds, and one in three Americans are affected each year.
This history is valuable because it puts the idea of cybersecurity and why we need it into perspective. The internet was first created as a tool, not as a playground for the world. It was built to advance knowledge and solve problems at national and academic levels, not to protect personal data. The dark side of cyberspace has emerged over the past 20 years, and cybersecurity has struggled to keep up with it every step of the way. As attacks became more serious, complex, and overwhelming, cybersecurity has been forced to step up its efforts by developing a strong set of defining principles. Tenets of cybersecurity. Because cybersecurity can be so hard to manage, its principles need to be well organized and effective. As a result, A model referred to as the Security Triad, or the AIC Triad, was designed to guide cybersecurity policies. It is also called the CIA Triad. However, that name usually leads to confusion with the Central Intelligence Agency, which is not related. This three-pronged model highlights the key tenets of cybersecurity. Confidentiality. Just as the name implies, confidentiality is a set of rules limiting access to certain information, much like privacy. These measures prevent sensitive information from landing in the wrong hands. Controlled access to data is the main concern because, remember, cybersecurity is always trying to patch up and guard points of vulnerability. In this way, confidentiality protects potentially dangerous or problematic information through the use of passwords, account numbers, verification codes, or other preventative methods. When you make a secure payment on PayPal, for example, confidentiality is what prevents someone else from using your account to have an online shopping party. Any hacker accessing sensitive information using unauthorized means is engaging in a confidentiality breach because they have stolen the privacy of the user. And all of these breaches have the same goal: gain access and take assets, whatever they may be. Think of it this way: stolen confidential information leads to access, which leads to data, which leads to assets or money. Integrity. This part of cybersecurity ensures that online information is trustworthy and accurate. Any data that moves around on the internet can be altered in transit, and this can pose problems for those who depend on its reliability to do their business. Integrity takes steps to ensure this information cannot be altered or deleted by unauthorized people, and that it stays intact, no matter where it goes. When your bank sends you an electronic notice about the balance of your account, it really, really needs to be correct. Otherwise, the information you have about important things in your life is wrong. Not good. A loss of integrity in a system can lead to all sorts of big cyber problems, particularly when it degrades valuable information. Although many businesses use a variety of robust methods to minimize these integrity dangers, all of which we will discuss later, data in transit is hard to protect. It can be intercepted by anyone with access to the network or the physical media used by it. As a newer threat on the horizon, integrity-based attacks occur when hackers manipulate data to their advantage, albeit in subtle and even undetectable ways. If a cyber criminal can change data, they can essentially control all the social, political, and financial outcomes associated with it. And because they basically orchestrated those outcomes, they are able to take advantage of them for personal gain. Strangely enough, most integrity breaches go unnoticed, but they still have the power to create massive breaches, like a financial collapse in the stock market or an undetected disruption in the public works of water and electricity. Availability. This is a guarantee that your access to reliable information is always available. It is an essential part of cybersecurity and is best handled through careful maintenance of all computer hardware and systems. Availability instantly repairs operating systems to keep them working properly. It also provides disaster recovery and system upgrades. This focus on basic hardware allows other areas of online security to run smoothly and without interruption. Data availability must be ensured by storage, which can be local or based off-site. Any hack that tries to block your data access by messing with the basic hardware or systems at work would be considered an availability breach. Non-repudiation. Although not officially part of the AIC triad, there is another important concept related to cybersecurity called non-repudiation. To repudiate means to deny, so non-repudiation simply refers to a process that makes denial impossible. For example, if you wanted to ensure someone received an important letter, you might send it registered mail with guaranteed delivery. This would guarantee it could not be denied at the other end. Another form of non-repudiation is a signed contract. If you sign a legal document with a witness present, there is no denying your part in the agreement at a later date. Non-repudiation is not a new concept. The ability to prove or disprove something like a financial transaction or a binding legal agreement has been a necessary part of business for centuries. But in its more modern form, non-repudiation can appear in many different ways, one of the most common being the law of the digital signature. Remember authenticity? Well, On the internet, a digital signature, which proves authenticity, ensures a message or document has been electronically signed by the right person. Email non-repudiation involves tracking methods that can identify senders and their locations, just in case that information becomes valuable. Because the web is loaded with risky and dishonest situations, non-repudiation plays an important role in keeping cyberspace secure. These days, a digital signature is just as legitimate and trusted as an old-fashioned John Hancock on paper. As such, attackers who are able to access some of your personal information could feasibly sign for things you know nothing about. This type of non-repudiation breach is just one of a million, as a hacker can fake authenticity with all sorts of data bits and chunks. Anything that proves you are you, a name, a social security number, an address, a password, can be faked by an attacker who will use this faux authenticity as a way to breach your online security.
Knowledge check. By answering these questions, you can test your understanding of new information and uncover any gaps in your knowledge. Reviewing the feedback will help you focus your studying before taking the graded unit quiz. Question 1. Which of the following would not be classified as a computer crime? Sam sees that his colleague Jana's computer is unlocked, so he opens up Jana's email and reads a private email that her boss sent her this morning. This is a computer crime because it involves unauthorized access to a computer system. Joey uses his friend's phone to take a selfie. Because there was no mention of any unauthorized access or viewing or obtaining of personal data, this should not be considered a computer crime. Isai works the night shift as a security analyst for a popular online retailer. Part of his duties each night is to ensure that the servers are running smoothly and safely. Since it's a slow night, he has some friends over for a little party. He starts showing them the servers and changes some settings to be funny, and he unintentionally causes one of the servers to go down. The company has major outages across the country. This is a computer crime. Even though Isai did not intentionally take the server down, his behavior was reckless and led to the disruption of services. Malaya's cousin James is a hacker. James hacked a financial company's database and saved the data onto a USB. He is afraid that the police are going to search his home, so he gives the USB to Malaya until he is no longer under suspicion. Has Malaya committed a computer crime? Malaya has committed a computer crime because she has knowingly received and is holding on to data that was obtained through illegal activity. Question 2. Which of the following represents a failure of cybersecurity integrity? Your smartphone app crashes right in the middle of a game. This is an issue of availability rather than integrity, since the app crashed. Consider an option that involves information being inaccurate. A major retailer's website goes down and you are unable to place your order. This is an issue of availability rather than integrity, since the website went down. Consider an option that involves information being inaccurate. You check your bank account in a cafe over unsecured Wi-Fi, and a hacker intercepts your private bank account details. This is an issue of confidentiality rather than integrity, since private information was intercepted. Consider an option that involves information being inaccurate. A patient's medical records were tampered with in the database and their latest illness was deleted. This is an issue of integrity since the medical records are no longer accurate due to database tampering. Question 3. How does non-repudiation keep cyberspace secure? It involves using tracking methods or digital signatures to verify the authenticity or receipt of a digital item. Non-repudiation is a valuable way to guard against fraud by providing authenticity through digital signatures and email tracking methods. It uses encryption to act as a virtual private network. While some non-repudiation methods do use encryption, non-repudiation does not act as a virtual private network. Consider that the word non-repudiation means to make denial impossible. It prevents malware from infecting corporate servers. Non-repudiation does not refer to the process of preventing malware. Consider that the word non-repudiation means to make denial impossible. It prevents the interception of private digital information over public networks by securing wireless access points. Non-repudiation does not deal with securing wireless access points. Consider that the word non-repudiation means to make denial impossible.
Conclusion. Hopefully by now, you're beginning to see your computer screen a little differently. Yes, it is a place for education, friends, and fun. However, it's also a place where caution and security are encouraged and expected. The internet offers us a host of wonderful experiences, as well as some extremely serious threats. Finding security in our virtual world is just as important as locking our doors at night. And once we understand this, along with the need for online vigilance, we can walk the streets of cyberspace with curiosity and confidence.